Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest today is Jace Lejeune, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine, LAFootballMagazine.com. I want to mention before we get started with our show that we're working on our preview magazine, our 25th year. If you're a mom or dad listening, a grandparent, or just a sports fan for college or high school, people think it's just a high school book. We actually have all the 12 colleges in it. And also we have a big recruiting section, which is really hard to narrow down. It's a first team, offense, defense, South and North. We have a North magazine, a South magazine, a digital copy for each. Go to LAFootballMagazine.com and pre-order a copy. We can't tell you what day you're going to get it because we don't have the magazine yet. We don't even have it at the printer yet. So we're looking at mid to late August when we get them out. They're not going to be in a lot of stores, so you got to get them from us through our site. You can get it from listening to this podcast. Just go to LAFootballMagazine.com. Our spotlight school today is going to be East St. John High School in Reserve, Louisiana. They got a lot of good players coming back, as always. Jason and me are going to talk about the landscape of college football is changing. It's changing more than my grass every day with the rain. We're going to talk about all the SEC, maybe adding Oklahoma and Texas. They've also talked, I think, to Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. So it's getting interesting. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the Southland Conference preseason, All-Louisiana team, and much more. We're going to have much more stuff here. Got some stats to throw out, too, as well. But let's get started. Before we get into the show, I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Medin's Collision Center on Kincaid Avenue. They're great people, family-owned since the 1960s. Call the number to call is 357-7983. That's local in Baton Rouge, 357-7983. If you need a paint job or a body work on your car or truck, you need to take it to Medin's Collision Center. Baton Rouge Auto Body Shop experts have been around since the 1960s. Also, Treads and Care Tire Company on, I tell you what, man, Hooper Road. What a great place, Jace. Brand new building on Park Place Drive on Hooper Road in Central. Devin Holly's the owner. He's been an owner of the tire company since 1971. They've been in business, family-owned, tires, brakes, oil changes, alignment, pickup and delivery, locally owned and operated, all major brands of tires. I've done business with Devin for years. Great guy. The number to call is 331-8144. That's 331-8144. And John Harvey Toyota, our first sponsor and great people looking for a used car or new car. Harvey Autos has three dealerships. And they're just the people to call in Shreveport-Bossier. If you're going to buy a vehicle, you go to Harvey Toyota. Also, John Harvey, Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts, luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. It's a key to get that warranty, huh, Jace? And also, we want to mention, we're just happy to be around almost 2 years now with the podcast and hope everybody out there is safe. Hope we don't get much rain this week. And let's go ahead and get started with the show. Let's talk about the SEC. And everybody talked about it last week. I like to wait and sit on it for a little bit and think about it a little bit. Everybody likes to jump on it the first day. Jace, I don't like the way things are changing in college football. I'm an old school guy. I mean, I'm in my 50s, you're in your 20s, so we grew up in different eras, but your dad is a coach, you grew up around football. There's so much changing, and it all revolves around money.
Oh, yeah, like everything else.
Everything is M-O-N-E-Y, and I guess it's okay, but the fans are the most important part of this whole piece. Don't you agree?
I agree. I mean, that's who pays the money, right?
Right. That's who goes sits in the stands, and when you watch TV, it's not empty, and you don't want it empty because it's bad for recruiting, it's bad for your school, and last year we saw a lot of empty seats, but because it wasn't full because of COVID.
COVID, right?
And then a lot of people chose not to go because of COVID, And then this year, you know, we're all excited to see a packed stadium because the spirit of football outside of, you know, God and our family, I mean, that's what a lot of people look forward to in the South, especially Louisiana. And it's something I've looked forward to for, you know, 35 years now. So college football, high school football, but the landscape is moving very fast. Obviously, they're trying to have a super conference now after this imaging stuff and, right. and all this other stuff we just went through about 3 weeks ago with college athletics. The power conference is kind of like if you don't get in this one, if this happens, if Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC and they get this power conference, then it's really going to be strange in recruiting. Because then if Oklahoma and Texas comes in and you're not in the SEC, the recruits are going to be like, well, it's like the playoffs, right? Well, if you're not in the playoffs, I don't want to go to your school.
Right.
Well, why do you want to go to Big 12 now if Oklahoma and Texas leave?
And that's the thing I'm curious about because that's pretty much
the We're hurting the tradition is my point
right.
of the conferences.
If this happens, I mean, as far as Power 5, you're not going to have Power 5 conferences anymore. You won't just have this big super power conference and then all the group of five teams, it seems like.
And it really hurts tradition and it hurts. I mean, do you think anybody's going to watch Baylor and Oklahoma State now in TCU in that conference? They're going to be the big names.
Right, I mean
it's going to kill them. And then
as soon as Texas and Oklahoma leaves.
Yeah, I mean, who does the SEC have to play now to say, you know, well, will Ohio State want to join the SEC? I mean, will Michigan want to join? I mean, is there going to be like 30 teams in the end? And it's going to be one conference, and then everybody else is just kind of like looked at as mediocre? I don't like the way it's going. And it's all about money because the SEC gets $68 million split just on TV. And that's going up. And if you looked at the Big 12, it was a little under $40 million. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's money.
Right.
ADs are looking like, oh, man, we can get another $30 million by joining this conference.
Exactly.
And then recruits in Texas. If you're at TCU now, you can't say, oh, we're going to play Texas. Well, no, Texas left your conference.
The SEC. Yep.
Oh, you're going to play Oklahoma and Norman. Nope. You're going to play Oklahoma State and Stillwater. Does that fire you up? You're going to play Kansas State. It's, I don't know. On the flip side, it helps LSU. And let me tell you why it helps LSU, because LSU recruits Texas. Mm-hmm. When all Texas kids now know all the Texas main teams are in the SEC,
right.
They're all going to play in the SEC. The guys that used to be Big 12 loyal dads, their allegiances can go to the SEC. So now if you're LSU, you can go to Dallas and Houston and recruit a kid that's not Louisiana connections.
Right.
Because maybe Texas didn't recruit him, and now, okay, no, we want to be where Texas is at, and we want to be where Oklahoma is at. We want to be in the Red River Shootout in the SEC. It's kind of weird to think about. And then
who's going to be in the West, who's going to be in the East and all that? You got to line all that out too.
If it happens, it looks like it's going to break this week. But if it happens, it looks like obviously Oklahoma is going to be on the West or Texas. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be two sides still. I don't think it'll be four pods like they said.
Uh-huh, right.
I think it was the SEC Network that said that, like pod conferences. It's kind of weird to say pod conferences anyway. But
yeah, I mean, it seems like with this move now, it's just going to turn into this big super conference. I mean, as far as all these teams coming in, as soon as Texas and Oklahoma are going to want to do that, of course Ohio State and Clemson, like you said, everybody else is going to want to do the same thing too. So I don't know how this is heading.
It's not heading in a great way for college football. A lot of people get excited and go, oh yeah, we get Texas now, we get to play them again. Nah, I think it's more than that. Oklahoma, I don't think Oklahoma and Texas coaches have a say in this, you know, because the ADs are making these decisions. It's about the money. But I don't think Oklahoma wants to play the schedule every year. They're going to now be a three-loss team every year now, I think.
Yeah, because if you look at the Big 12 the last couple of years, they always stumbled one game in the regular season in the Big 12. And then Texas, they haven't been in the conference championship in 10 years. And
yeah.
They're going to go in the SEC. That's going to be pretty
tough. It's a bad move for them because You don't get a Kansas in SEC. There's no gimme wins.
It wasn't like Texas was dominating the Big 12 the last couple of years.
No.
They're going to move to the SEC.
I think they need to stay in the Big 12 and just be those two teams dominating it. Because let's face it, the Red River Shootout, the winner usually goes to the conference title game.
Right, it's usually either Oklahoma or Texas.
And maybe every 5 years you see Oklahoma State maybe get there.
Right.
Kansas State maybe once every 10 years.
Right. I know Iowa State, you know, pumped up this year. They're supposed to be a really good team.
TCU is kind of on the down end.
Yeah, but they used to be.
Used to be good.
Baylor had some years.
Randa needs to win this year.
Right.
I mean, the vacation is over with for Aranda. Mm. Year two, if you lose 8 games and go 4-7, no. Mm-hmm. Even Waco, they don't like 4-8.
Right. They just need to show some sort of improvement, like the next step. Because the third year, too, after this year, that's the year you got to prove yourself. So, year number one, of course, install what you got to do. Year two, try to improve. And year three is the money year. You got to show what you can do with year three.
We're going to take a break when we come back. I'm going to talk about East St. John High School. Jace might have some questions for me. We're going to talk about the Southland Conference preseason defense and offense for the Southland Conference. If you don't know Southland Conference, McNeese, Nicholls, Southeastern, Northwestern State, you know, and now some of the Texas schools are leaving. And some are staying. It's going to be unique. We'll talk about that. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Our guest today is our editor, Jace Lejeune. We just go through talking about the Power Conference. If it happens this week, it's probably going to happen this week. You're going to hear about Oklahoma and Texas probably joining the SEC conference. I don't like it. I really don't. I think it's a money thing. They want that SEC split, and they're tired of being locked out of some of the playoffs. But if they think they're really tired of being locked out of the playoffs, they're going to have a tougher time getting to the playoffs now.
Right, I agree. I was just based off last year, and it's going to be interesting what this expanded playoff does and how they rely on that, because even before this move, it looked like there were going to be 2 or 3 SEC teams in this expanded college football playoff already. But now the trend that is going with those teams going into the SEC, what does that mean for the other conferences now? The ACC and the Pac-12, what does that mean for them? So there are a lot of interesting moves you got to watch out in the next couple weeks.
Now, legally, I think the state of Texas is trying to stop it with a lawsuit. We'll see how that works. It's all about money, too, you know, with lawsuits and keeping them in the state of Texas keep them in that conference.
And you know Texas A&M is not happy about this, because the reason why they left the Big 12 was get out of Texas' shadow, and now Texas is going to join the SEC. So, you know, that little brother Texas A&M is not going to be happy about this.
I think it affects Texas A&M more than anybody, because they did want to be their own Texas school in the SEC, and now the Longhorns, let's face it, if you're in the state of Texas, there are more Longhorn true fans than A&M fans.
And they're considered the number one
school. It's the state school.
Yeah, state school in Texas.
I didn't say there wasn't any A&M fans. Obviously, Houston has tons of them because it's close by College Station. It's all about the geographics, right, of being near A&M, but you get outside of Houston, you get toward Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, Richardson, Texas. Really half of the state, a little over half the state, is true diehard Longhorn people. And it's hard for Texas A&M to recruit North Texas, like Fort Worth and Dallas and Austin and San Antonio. That's Longhorn territory. And then Texas can go to Houston and grab players because, again, it's the state school. But A&M... this could be the demise of Jimbo, because, you know, I don't know if they would beat Texas and Oklahoma. Now, I mean, first of all, I don't think A&M is Alabama yet.
No, they're not there yet.
They're not even close. And they're not LSU yet. I mean, LSU's shown their, you know, 3 national championships in the last 11, 12 years, maybe?
If you think about it, I mean, they did somebody did this poll as far as like tiers in college football, tier one, tier two. They put LSU in the tier two, but they've actually won more national championships than some teams in the tier one, like Oklahoma. Oklahoma's only won one national championship right. since 2000.
And Texas A&M's never played in a national championship game. Mm-hmm. They've never been in the playoffs.
Right.
So, I mean, I think they were screwed out of the playoffs last year. I've got to say that. I didn't want them to get in, you know, because recruiting with LSU, but they should have probably been in the playoffs over Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think they saw the Alabama A&M matchup and – the way the first time went, they didn't want rematch, yeah. so that played a big part of why they didn't get
And the way LSU almost beat A&M this year with a horrible team was probably the reason they didn't put A&M in.
They didn't really look that – really, no. that, they didn't have a dominating victory or like a
– No, Kellen Mond had a horrible game against LSU.
Like, I would say their best victory all year was Florida all year last year. I mean, that's pretty much about it.
If LSU would have just had a running game, they would have beat A&M this year because the defense actually showed up in that game.
Yeah, defense played well, and there were a couple plays, you know, missed by LSU. They had some opportunities to make it really a good game. But
let's talk about East St. John High School, Jace, the spotlight school this segment.
Coach, what talent they got.
Yeah, I mean, it's this has been going back since Lewis Lips played for the Steelers and Southern Miss. This has been going on since Kirsten Pittman and Vegas Franklin. Vegas went to Miami. Kirsten Pittman went to LSU under Saban. Right. Ryan Perilou
was quarterback there.
You know, this goes back to Greg Gathers, who was all-time sack leader at Georgia Tech. They've had some special, special players come out of reserve Louisiana. Brandon Brown is in his fourth year as the head coach. He's done a really good job there.
Yeah, he has. He came from St. Helena. He did a great job at St. Helena before there.
And the guys that he took over with at St. Helena are going to be seniors this year. They're stacked this year at St. Helena. You know, they've got a big senior group. They always have a good 35, 40 guys they can rotate. It's just a matter of where will St. John be strong? Will they be, you know, experienced this year? Well, they got a new quarterback, George Smith, who was a receiver,
right?
DB.
Yep.
They got a good running game with Cortez Fisher and George Martin III.
It seems like they always got some pretty solid running backs.
Cortez is back. George is kind of new. They always got big tight end H-backs. Yeah, they got Caden Henderson this year, Devin Davis. I like Kylan Harris. Coach raves about him. I watched him last year. Great playmaker at receiver.
Yeah, Coach told me that they had 14 touchdown passes all year. He had 13 of them last year. So.
Yeah, and he's 5'11", 175, maybe 5'10 and a half, but he's such a great playmaker, and he showed it every week, like you said. The O-line's always big at East St. John. They don't necessarily have D1 prospects, but they always have big guys, and Jamarian Irvin's back, Michael Green, Dante King's an undersized center. He's going to be, a 3 or 4 year starter this year. 5'11", 240, man, he's really got great feet. And their D-line's got a chance to be special. And this is a D-line that lost a D1 recruit last year.
Right.
Daryl Daigle is a specimen, 6'2", 315, D-tackle. Raquan Williams and Ja'Cory Robertson look like clones. They're both 250, 6'2 DNs that are seniors. Heck, that's a college D-line. That's ULM of Monroe D-line.
Right.
And then you throw in Jamarian Zeno, who's 240, 6'2, a young guy. I mean, and Jace, they got great linebackers, Freddie Jones, Elijah Frank, Jamin Grant. I mean, all these guys are over 195, 6', 6'1". And their secondary, they have 6 DBs that are college prospects. And when you have that, that's what East St. John has every year. They have great skill receivers and DBs.
They do every year.
And they've got guys behind these guys. They got a guy named Mikey Brunfield, Dwayne Brown, Delvin Brown, both corners, Jai Jones, Hanson Johnson, Dimitri LaBeouf, and Elian Green is another receiver who's a punter kicker. But, you know, East St. John, typical East St. John team, size up on the O-line, big athletic D-linemen, linebackers, and great skill guys.
Good, great athletes in the skill position.
Not necessarily always a great quarterback, but always a great athlete. And I think George Smith's going to make a great quarterback/athlete for them this year.
They're one of those teams when the playoffs come and you're like, they might come in a 20 seed or 19 seed and you're a top 5 seed, like, oh, God, we got to play these guys.
Yeah.
They're definitely one of those teams out there.
And they're a get-off-the-bus team that plays the way they look. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys that get off a team, you go, man, that's a big team. and they play kind of lethargic. This team, this program, they're tough kids.
And they're always at the end of the year, that's when they play their best. They might be a little shaky at the start of the season, but when that November comes around, that's when they're playing their best football.
I mean, they went 7-2 last year, and they beat Woodlawn in a sloppy game.
Yeah,
it was raining.
That was the first round of the playoffs. A good game. I think it went to double overtime.
Yeah.
It was a really good game. A
lot of fumbles in the mud. I would say Woodlawn might have won this if it was dry field.
I thought whoever – when we were talking about it last year, Lee, I thought whoever won that game was going to make a really good run. And,
yeah.
And then next round, I believe they beat John Eric, who was the top two seed. So, I mean, I knew that either one of those two teams would make a run based off their talent.
I mean, this is a team with 17 starters back, and they lost 5 college signees.
Right, and 2 in the front 7.
And one linebacker to Baylor, who I love.
Right.
I love this kid, and I thought LSU should have went out, but Dave Aranda's got an eye for linebackers. And this kid's 6'1", 235, runs a 4.6, played running back for East St. John. And, he's not going to be wearing purple and gold. He's going to be wearing, green?
Right.
I'm trying to remember the name of this kid that signed with Jackie Marshall.
Jackie Marshall, and I believe Willen Williams.
McNeese. I mean, they're special, and their front seven's got a chance to be better without those guys. That's how good East St. John's going to be this year. And if they can stay healthy at quarterback, George Brown, a converted DB, they got a chance to be, this might be the year they get through.
Yeah, they can be a contender for sure.
Because Ryan Perilou, they never played in the Dome.
No.
Lewis Lips, I don't think their teams, I don't have the history book in front of me, but East St. John's had some great teams over the years that just didn't make the state championship game. They've been so close, like Newman maybe, and some other programs that have never made the state championship game. This is the year for them, speaking of being due. Nelson Stewart and those guys with Arch Manning, this might be it.
Right.
Peyton Manning never played in a state championship game.
Yeah, Peyton, Eli, Odell Beckham. Yeah, so they had some guys over the years that could.
What took Jim Hightower, 29 years?
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
St. Thomas
Moore? Took 30 years to, really get where they're
it's
at.
It's hard.
Now. Yeah.
Frank Monaco will tell you that. He played in several, but there's a lot of teams he had that were great that he couldn't even get there because of Curtis.
Right. And think about it, before the split, Catholic High had struggled.
Big time.
Yeah, getting there, getting into the state championship. So
it's going to be interesting to see what your Bears do this year.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the Southland Conference. Jace did some of the play-by-play games this past year for Southeastern, and I watched a lot of them on TV. He was there at a lot of the stadiums. We'll be back with much more. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Jace Lejeune is my co-pilot today for the show. This segment, we're going to talk about the Southland Conference. A lot of these kids are Louisiana natives. The Colonels put 11 on the preseason team, Nicholls State. That's kind of shocking considering they had a dismal year last year.
Yeah, they did, but the talent is, have you seen them play? The talent is
they got talent.
There. Yep, the talent's definitely there.
And they lost their senior-to-be receiver in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Who would have been the best player in the Southland probably, but he bolted. I don't know where he decided to go.
Dejon Dixon?
Yeah, from Edna Carr.
Yeah. All-time leading receiver for Nicholls.
I hate to see kids do that. I mean, Lee's a good team. I don't know where he's at now. I don't know. He probably landed at Nebraska or something or one of these schools. So Nicholls has 11 on the preseason team, 6 on the first team, 5 being offensive players. P.J. Burkhalter, Franklinton High School, O-lineman. Jared Joseph, a local kid from the home area. Evan Roussel from St. Charles Catholic. Yeah. Tight end David Mosley, a Rommel kid, Archbishop Rommel. Receiver Dejon Dixon, this was printed, and then he chose to leave. Nicholls averaged 48.7 points a game last year and a record 521.6 yards of total offense and still was not one of the top teams in the 1AA field last year. Kevin Moore, is their defensive guy from Acadiana.
Right.
Second team, Julian Gums from De La Salle. I love Julian Gums, a running back. KJ Franklin from Santa.
Yeah.
Dontez Costly from St. James.
Yeah, he had a good year last year.
I love Percy Gansey from Jesuit, yeah. Defensive end.
Right.
And Hayden Shaheen, your school, Catholic Bear,
yeah,
linebacker.
Year.
You know, it's Cole Kelly comes back as the Walter Payton Award recipient. He's the Heisman Trophy of 1AA.
Sure, yep.
Your alma mater, Southeastern.
Southeastern.
What do you think Southeastern's going to do this year, Jace?
They have the talent just based off last year, and pretty much everybody's coming back. So this team should be the favorite heading to the Southland Conference. But my main concern is the running game. They really don't have a guy because they lost two running backs. And so that's my main concern. The passing game's going to be there, but they have the chance to be the best passing offense in the Southland Conference. My biggest question is their defense. That's my biggest
question. Offensively, you know, you got C.J. Turner back from East St. John
and
High School.
C.J. Turner's coming back. Austin Mitchell's coming back. And their whole Tim Wilson, their whole receiving core, Javon Connors, the only guy that really we're going to have to replace, and their tight end. But that's about it. Everybody else is coming back in this passing game. And, boy, it's going to be scary seeing these guys back for another year.
And you also got a great punter back, Austin Dunlap, from North Shore High School.
Yeah, they didn't punt much last year, but right. They did. He was booming them every single time.
Freshman Darius Harry did good from East Jefferson.
Right, and that's what Coach Selfo was, you know, concerned about, was last year they got hurt a lot, and so they got a lot more bodies coming in. Nelson Jenkins is coming in to play this year a lot. So
from LSU.
Yeah, from LSU.
So if he decides to play.
Right, so we'll
what's going on with the Plaquemine connection to Southeastern? You got Herman Kristoff there.
Herman Kristoff. Brakeem.
Austin Mitchell.
Yeah, Austin Mitchell. Brakeem Wicks. It's just Plaquemine connections. I joke with that all the time with Coach Selfo. Is it Plaquemine you over there?
And, right.
He said, yeah, we seem like we have a good connection with Plaquemine every year.
They also had a great year from freshman DB that I love, Jack Henderson from Mandeville.
Yeah, he stepped up late in the year and made a lot of big plays for Southeastern last year.
Pro prospect Donnell Ward McGee from St. Aug.
Right. Yep, very talented kid.
And Rendell Miles, character, an offensive
another
lineman.
Another St. Aug. Yep. Yeah, another St. Aug guy.
Damian Dawson, tight end fullback. Drew Jones. You know, it's a Jalen Bell, who's not a Louisiana guy, but did a good job on the O-line.
Yep, they also probably have the best defensive player in the country in FCS, and Philando Jordan, too. So he's definitely a good one.
Cole Kelly threw for 2,662 yards, 27 touchdowns. This shocks me here. He had 18 passing, but at 6'7", 250 pounds, he had 7 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. And they didn't really have, because of the running back situation last year, he was the guy on 3rd-and-1 to run the football because of how big he is. He's just another power, Tim Tebow power runner when he's 250 pounds.
Man. So. And then you've got Northwestern State's got a preseason DB in William Hooper.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good player. Nichols, we talked about. Josh Matthews from McNeese.
Yeah. He had a good year.
Receiver.
He stepped up to be the number one guy for them last year.
Rashawn Matthews, his dad, played at LSU and
right.
Southern.
Right.
Northwestern State's Jacob Seal, an O-lineman. Scotty Robolo, who's a punter that we covered at Bird, is coming back at Northwestern State, 6'5".
And Coach said that last year he had tried to do kicking and punting at the same time. This year he focused as a punter, and it showed how good of a punter he was just focusing on that position alone.
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern State's linebacker, Ja'Quoy Pugh.
Oh, their linebacking core is stacked. I mean, this linebacking core, they probably could play Division I in a lot of.
And then you got, coming back from Northwestern State, a Texas transfer, speaking of Texas Longhorns, Donovan Dunavere. Remember his brother ate LSU up 2 years ago.
Yeah, brother played at Texas, and his first cousin is Kyler Murray. So it's pretty good bloodlines there.
Yeah, a lot of good players coming back in the Southland Conference. What do you think of some of these Texas schools not being in it anymore?
Yeah, I heard that they're trying to, you know, they're going to a different conference and trying to expand a little bit. I'm curious about the schedule this year, Lee, because you know how the big rivalry is between Southeastern and Nichols? Well, this year, Southland Conference teams, because it's still the same similar type of teams, they have to play twice. So they got to do a home and home.
Because they're lacking those Texas teams.
So now Southeastern will have to play Nichols twice. And that's going to be another added wrinkle. McNeese will have to play, you know, UIW twice. So
it's no Sam Houston anymore.
Right, yeah.
No, I don't see Lamar in there anymore.
Because I called their last game against Southeastern in the Southland Conference. That was their last game in it.
No more. What's the Texas school in Nacogdoches?
Yeah, is that let's see. So you got UIW, you got Houston Baptist. I'm trying to think what other Texas schools are. You have Lamar. I don't think there's any other team.
I mean, half the Texas schools have pulled out. And this is the wacky world of college football now. It's the wild, wild west, man. It's hard to keep up with. Everybody's kind of aligning, moving, changing. Now kids are getting paid. I mean, everything's going at one time. Do we have an NCAA right now? I mean, what are they?
Based off SEC media days, it seemed like that Greg Sankey was the guy in charge and on top of this college football world. Just hearing him talk and say, you know, I don't know what the NCAA is really doing right now.
Central Arkansas is another
Central
team.
Arkansas.
They pulled out, right?
Yeah, right. Yep, that's another one.
I mean, these teams need to think about their travel, too, when they pull out all these Louisiana schools. The travel's nothing. And then you go to another conference, it's another 500-600 miles to travel. It's going to be more expensive.
Yeah, I didn't really get the them leaving the South and I didn't really get the logistics of everything.
Stephen F. Austin's who I try to think of earlier.
Stephen F. Austin, yep. Mm-hmm.
I think they left.
Yep.
Huh.
It's pretty much all the Texas schools in the Southland Conference because that's what it is. I mean, Texas, Louisiana.
That's
Arkansas.
It.
I mean, that's.
Besides maybe a couple Arkansas teams.
Central Arkansas, that's about it.
Man. I just don't like the way things are going right now. I really don't. I think it's
a time machine and fast forward 5 years and see what the college.
It's
going to
be a mess.
Like.
It's going to be a mess for the next year, I think, because teams are trying to desert conferences. Those conferences are going to be now hurt. Now they don't care about those other teams. They don't care about that landscape. Is the Pac-12 going to stay together? Are they going to go? Are they going to try and combine with the Big Ten? What's next?
I have a feeling it might be like two or three just super conferences.
I mean, this is going to be a shift that really spills over to what happens in the SEC is going to change everything else.
They're going to combine with each other.
So does the ACC try to recruit USC?
recruiting other schools.
Does Oregon try to join the Big Ten? I mean, what's next?
I have no idea with this move coming up. I just don't know.
The Pac-12 doesn't make sense travel-wise with any conference.
Right. Like, the closest would be the Big Ten, but, I mean, that's
no,
still,
that'd be a long ways. I mean, California to Michigan.
Right. But, I mean, it's closer than to the SEC, and it's also closer to the ACC on the other side of the country.
Would the Pac-12 want to play cold teams? That's sunny California and Oregon and Washington. It rains in Oregon and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But that changes everything for those kids. The worst mistake I thought that Nebraska made was joining a conference that makes no sense to their state, the Big Ten.
Right. Because they did have success in the Big 12.
Look at their recruiting, Jay, since they joined the Big Ten. They can't recruit Texas anymore because – this has nothing to do with Texas when you go play Ohio State, Purdue, Wisconsin, you know, Northwestern and Chicago. There's no kids going, oh, man, in Dallas, I want to go to play in the cold.
right.
So Nebraska has never been the same since they joined the Big Ten. And Scott Frost, I love him, think he's a great guy. He played there. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can turn it around. I really don't.
No, I don't think so. It's just one of those jobs that – I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough to go back to the Tom Osborne days.
If I'm Nebraska, I'm calling the SEC going, look, let me get in on this. We want out of the Big Ten. It doesn't fit us. My point is, look what happened to Nebraska. Could that happen to Oklahoma and Texas, where things have just changed fully, where their fan base doesn't even like it? Nebraska's not even in the conversation anymore. They're not even
– no.
Recruits go – who's Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in the 80s.
Oh, when they were like dominating.
When they were Tom Osborne and they had the best team in the country. It was either Oklahoma, it was Nebraska, it was Alabama or Notre Dame or Ohio State or Michigan.
The Florida teams, right.
Right. But kids today, they don't even remember when Nebraska won.
Mm-hmm. Right. Not only did they win, they were
dominating. You could say, who's Tommy Frazier? Who's Irving Fryer? Who's Roger Craig? Who's Tom Raffman? Mm-hmm. Who's Dean Steinkuhler? I mean, who are all these All-American? Mark Bing, all these. They don't know any of these guys.
No. Not anymore.
So really think about what you're doing, schools. Please talk to your AD. It's, you know, because it's money, M-O-N-E-Y. And I think Texas and Oklahoma have the greatest situation right now. Whoever wins the Red River game goes to the playoffs, probably.
They're the face of the conference. When they go to the SEC, they're not going to be the face of the
Have anybody in the conference that can challenge them. And that's why Texas fired Herman, because it's like, you can't beat Iowa State. You lose to Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Are you kidding me?
It's been since it's crazy, Lou, that Texas has not won a conference championship since Colt McCoy was playing quarterback for him. And that's like 10 years ago.
You were in, like, elementary school or something,
like,
huh?
Yeah, like 10 years old.
Right.
You know? 11 years
old. You didn't have a driver's license or anything.
No, this happened way before that.
So, I mean, you know, I'm just throwing out stuff in history, I mean, to make people think that's not in the newspaper already. This will change. Then, like I said, once this happens, then it's going to – the other conferences are going to do
right.
it. And it's going to be, like you said, it's going to end up being like two conferences.
Mm-hmm. It's two super conferences, and they're going to battle it out. I don't know how they're going to divide the playoffs and all that situation, but, yeah, it's just going to end up being two super conferences in the end. But I'm curious what's going to happen with the rest of the Power 5 schools. Are they going to, like, you know, because you got these other conferences like mm-hmm. the American, you got the Sun Belt. What are they going to do? Are they going to stay in their own conference?
You
and
know
try
what?
And move somewhere else?
I think Notre Dame should join the ACC.
Yeah, they should.
But they're not going to do it.
Right.
They don't want to share money with anybody.
And they play every other sport in the ACC but football.
It's a private Catholic school, and they're not going to share the money with anybody. I would be shocked. They need to join the ACC. They really do. They would probably join the Big 12 before the ACC because it's easier.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see Notre Dame going to the Big 12? They dominate.
Right.
With no Oklahoma or Texas?
Right. Because at least in the ACC, if you move to the ACC, you won't have to play Clemson. So,
and Florida State, and Miami.
Florida State, Miami, yep.
And right. an up and coming North Carolina.
Right. And Virginia Tech had some years.
And Syracuse will give you a game. Mm hmm. North Carolina State will give you a game.
Right.
Wake Forest is not that good right now, but
even the lower teams in the ACC will, yeah, they'll give you a
they're
run.
Decent. They're decent. It's better than the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas and Kansas State used to be good.
Yeah, Coach Snyder was there, right.
Man, right. Look at Missouri since they left the Big 12 and the SEC. They're not that good, and they beat LSU last year.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a good move at first. The first 2 years, I believe they went to the SEC championship game, but after that, they haven't done much since then.
And speaking of teams joining conferences and it's not working out great, Utah's really not doing great in the Pac-12. They can't get – and USC's down, and they still couldn't take advantage of UCLA and UCLA being down.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State can't win in the Pac-12. I don't think Herm Edwards is going to be there long.
Right. This is a very important year for Herm.
Arizona has went down to Tollett, okay. Used to be Desert Storm. It's like, what? There's no Desert Storm now. Yeah. There might be a desert over there.
Right.
Remember they had the Desert Storm defense? I think ever since LSU beat Arizona, they haven't been the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With Saban.
Right.
Washington, they just can't get over the hump of being a contender every year. And in Washington State,
yeah,
they lost their coach to Mississippi State.
Mike Leach.
I mean, Leach had them rolling. They didn't win a championship, but it made
the team interesting to
watch. And Oregon State's been kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon, they can't get over the hump. They'll go like 9-0 and then lose their last three games every year.
Right, yep.
They can't beat USC at the end, and they can't, for some reason, they lose to somebody they're not supposed to lose to.
I mean, really, the last 6-7 years, the Pac-12's been pretty weak. I mean, if you compare it to the ACC and the Big Ten, Big 12, they've been the weakest link.
They used to recruit Texas better, but the reason they can't now is because of all the shifting. Like I said, the Big 12 now, if Oklahoma and Texas joins the SEC, the Pac-12 probably won't sign any Texas players unless they're like second-level D1 guys.
Right, and that's crazy to think because back when Pete Carroll and USC were rolling, they did get a lot of guys from Texas. Over there.
I wonder what Tulane and ULL is thinking right now.
That was my biggest question, too. What are some of these group of five teams are going to do now?
Will Fritz try and get his AD to join the Big 12? Mm-hmm. Will ULL, who's got momentum, would they try and get in the Big 12? It makes sense travel-wise and where they are.
Yeah, they're like the Coastal Carolinas of the world and the Boise States of the world.
Troy.
Troy's of the world.
They're probably positioning to go, okay, once those two do leave, who gets those two spots?
Yeah, college, just basically like from a year or two from now, college football is going to look a lot different than it is right now.
Colorado should have stayed in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. They are not even on the radar in the Pac-12 right now.
No.
Some people can't even tell you what conference Colorado's in. That's how irrelevant they are right now. Mm-hmm. I remember when Colorado in 91 were a national champions
team.
With McCaffrey, the coach, and had some of the best players in the country.
Yeah, Cordell Stewart.
Sean Salam was a Heisman Trophy winner. Darian Hagan was an All-American.
Right.
Alfred Williams and Canavius McGee that were from Houston, LSU tried to sign them, All-Americans. Dalton Simmons, whose son's now a quarterback at Country Day.
Yeah.
He was an All-American there from John Arrett High School. Mike Phillips from John Arrett. Colorado, Eric Bieniemy, you know, who had some.
He's the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs right now.
I mean, Colorado was getting the top players in the country for like 5 years. Again, if you ask somebody, most people will tell you, what conference is Colorado in? They don't even know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can fall fast. So, I mean, this is going to be – I think it's a bad move for Oklahoma and Texas. I think it's a good move for the SEC. Mm-hmm. Bad move for them, and I don't think it's good for college football. We need other conferences. We need guys to play in another conference that it's good matchups. Now, when everybody's in your conference, who's the competition?
Like,
and it's going to be, okay, what is it now, automatic, if we go 12 teams, playoffs, six of them are going to be SEC?
Yeah, half of them are going to be SEC teams. Yep.
And then maybe they take some out of the ACC and some out of the Pac-12?
Well, they'll probably take two of
– Big Ten?
If you go to three super conference, they probably take two from the other conference and two more from the other conference and grab like a two of like Tulane or Coastal Carolina as far as the other two left. I mean, that's what it seems like it's going to be.
I really wonder, though – because, you know, Michigan recruits California really well, and so does Ohio State. They have for years. Mm-hmm. I wonder if those two would consider joining the Pac-12.
Yeah, and then what happens to the Big Ten? So
it's
you got all these
but again, if they leave, there you go. Mm-hmm. Then the Pac-12, the ACC, and SEC become your three power conferences. Mm-hmm. Michigan, Tom Brady, where is he from? California.
Yep, right.
Where is Ohio State's top players on their team? Most of them, or a lot of them, are from California.
Yeah. And don't they have a good pipeline to Florida, some of them, that they've gotten over the years?
Oh, yeah. They get one every now and then from Jacksonville or Tampa.
Right.
Ohio State does. Michigan gets some of the lower level D1s, believe it or not, that end up being good players. But Michigan's all – I mean, something about the alumni. The alumni are strong in California for Michigan and Ohio. That's why LSU can't go in there and grab guys out of California, because the ones that do want to leave, their families are not from Louisiana. They're from Ohio. They're from, like, Michigan. They're from, like, New York. And they don't really want to come to LSU because, I'm just being honest, when you get an Elias Ricks, that's rare.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the first bona fide top three player in the state that actually came to LSU. That's the first in, like, 100 years for LSU. With no LSU ties, I'm talking about like no family here, yada, yada.
Sure.
He knew Saban, Orgeron when he was a kid going to camp, but still.
Yeah, they showed a picture of him during the games when he was a little kid at the camps and everything.
But it's gonna be crazy. And then, you know, people like West Virginia, you know, in the Big 12, I mean, will they like take them out the conference for a better team? I mean, is it gonna be shuffling going on too with other teams? Will West Virginia be a Sun Belt, you know?
You know, you shuffle cards. They're going to put all these teams in the tech and shuffle. And it's like, all right, you're going this conference, you're going this conference.
Who brings in money? All right. What's your fan base? All right, what's your ticket money? What is your – all right, that's what it looks like it's going to
me. They
might
have a draft. They might just say all the teams with Ohio State gets the first pick, which conference you want to go to.
I do think to end with this for this conversation, I do think ULL deserves – if Texas Oklahoma leaves, they deserve to be in the Big 12 as much as some of those smaller schools like Kansas and the other ones.
And guess who made the Big 12 championship last year? It was Iowa State. Guess who beat Iowa State?
ULL.
So they deserve to be.
And I think Louisiana Tech deserves a mention too as a possibility because they've had a great program in football.
Yeah, Coach Holt's done a great job over there.
And they've got history, Terry Bradshaw and Tim Retay, and
right.
They've had some great seasons. I think Tech would be someone to consider for the Big 12 also.
Yeah.
Could you see – I'd love this. I'd love to see Tech and ULL get in the Big 12, and then they have to play each other.
Right. Yeah, it's true because you don't see them to play a lot or often.
Oh, goodness.
I don't think I've ever seen a game playing with them too.
We're going to take a break when we come back. Jace, just whatever questions you have for me, we might can talk some MLB.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rat about a little bit of the MLB teams I've been watching lately, Anaheim, the Angels. I'm a big Ohtani fan. I'm a big Mike Trout fan. I'm also a big Yankees fan. The Yankees, they're just not that good this year. But we'll talk about the Astros and some other stuff. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our guest in the co-pilot seat is Jace Lejeune. Here's a stat, Jace, that's very interesting. Here's some trivia for you.
Okay.
Name the longest tenured coach in college football in D1 coming back next year at the same school.
At the same school.
Okay. This is a tough one.
Okay. Because I know some people would assume it would be old Nick Saban, but
nope.
It's not. Okay.
Nope.
All right. Well, Bill Snyder retired.
Yep.
You had
he's cutting his grass right now, probably at home. Right. Yep.
This is a Power 5 conference school?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's going to be tough.
Okay. It's probably somebody I wouldn't have thought of. Longest tenured at one school.
D1.
D1. Okay. Power 5 conference.
It's sleeping under all of our noses. A lot of people are not even going to realize it. It's a good little scoop for the show today.
Okay. Gotcha. Have they been, relevant in the past couple years? Or?
They've given LSU problems in bowl games, as a hint.
In bowl games. Okay. Huh.
It's not a team I want to play in a bowl game.
Oh, is it Iowa's coach?
It's Ferentz.
Yeah, okay.
23 years.
Yeah, okay.
Who would have thought? That was a good guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They call him no-frills Ferentz. 23rd year. Is the only head coach in America who's been in the same job since the last century. He's 65 years old. And he's not going anywhere. He likes to fish. And they are not a team I want to play in a bowl game.
No. They've always been that tough, hard-nosed type team that'll give you problems.
Here's some other trivia. Guess how many points LSU averaged a game they gave up last year?
It has to be in the 40s, right?
34.9.
I think that's being generous after last year.
That's a touchdown worse than any LSU team on record ever. And they have to be better this year, and they will be.
I saw an interesting stat from remember watching the Alabama Ole Miss game that was just crazy. It was touchdown after touchdown last year. I heard if Alabama just played against air at that game, they only would have gained only 35 more yards than they played the Ole Miss defense last year. So I thought that stat was insane because they probably could have just played against that air and done just as much.
And here's a stat that a lot of people don't know in college football. It's kind of irrelevant because they just don't finish well. Oregon has won the Pac-12 the past 2 years. Really, a lot of people wouldn't know that.
And they've underachieved because they had Justin Herbert and, they had chances to.
Mario Cristobal needs to, it's a big pressure job. And, he's looked at as one of the top 7 coaches in the country. But if they lose big games again this year, they're going to be questioning how long he'll be the head guy.
Right. Even though they've won conferences, this is a weak conference. They should go through the conference undefeated or one loss and be in the conversation, be in the playoffs.
And this is what I'm looking forward to. Cincinnati, Luke Fickell.
Ooh.
How good is he without Marcus Freeman at D coordinator, who's now at Notre Dame? How good will the Cincinnati Bearcats be? They have him preseason number 8. That's too high to me.
Mm-hmm.
Putting Cincinnati at number 8 without Marcus Freeman, That's a little high.
Yeah, I know you kind of go off of last year, what they did last year, but, yeah, I mean, it's a tough conference, too. They got to play the UCFs and the Memphises, and, I mean, it's a tough conference over there, so we'll see what they do in there.
My sleeper best player in the country, and I'm not a Notre Dame fan, just so people know. Notre Dame returns the freshman of the year last year in the United States, Kyren Williams, a running back, ran for 1,000 yards. He's from Missouri, by the way.
Yep.
Man, Mizzou screwed up not signing him. He's only 5'9", 190, but he reminds me of Kevin Falk.
Yeah, he's good.
He's one of the top young guys in the country. Florida, can you believe the Florida Gators have won 29 games in 3 years?
Yeah. I mean, Coach Mullen's done a pretty
good
job.
No playoffs.
Yeah. No playoffs yet.
LSU and Georgia have been in his way in Alabama. Mm. And A&M beat him last year.
Right. Yep, that was their marquee win last year at A&M. And then LSU should have been, you know, in the conversation of being the last year, and they did.
It's going to be interesting this year. I have Miami upsetting Alabama week one. I have actually a couple of personal bets with some friends, and they think I'm cuckoo.
Okay.
But I watch Miami's spring game, and I know De'Arik King's back, but they got two freshman quarterbacks that are unbelievable. One's Garcia from California that finished in Georgia.
Right.
Their defense is off the charts. Looks like the old Miami defenses. They got a big old – they look like the old Miami teams. Mm-hmm. Alabama's never played a tough first-game team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if that happens, if it's true, and I'm hoping because I want to win my bet, it's over a meal with a high school coach, by the way, in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Then Alabama will have, for the first time, if they lose week one, that'll be something Nick's never had happen to him at Alabama.
I hope it happens. but until I see with my own two eyes, I mean, I'm going to go with Bama until they prove me otherwise.
I'm not all on board that Alabama's quarterback is all that.
I'm not either, but
he doesn't have to be great, I tell people.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be great to win games.
They got an All-American O-line, 5 All-American running backs, and 10 All-American receivers back.
Yeah.
It's a well-oiled machine. But here's the deal. If he does get hurt, we don't want him to get hurt, but they're going to be in deep trouble if he was to get injured because Paul Tyson, Paul Bear Bryant's grandson, he's not ready to be the starter.
Right.
And Alabama's never really been weak at the number two spot at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've always had 3. You know, Jalen Hurts bailed out Tua. Tua bailed out Jalen Hurts.
Sure.
Jacob Coker had a great backup. Right. I mean, McElroy had a backup.
Right, and Coker was a backup to who was the quarterback that was really a running back?
He came from Florida State.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, there was always A.J. McCarron was a backup to McElroy, I believe.
Yeah, Blake Sims was the star in front of Coker.
But they've always had 2 guys.
Yep.
But they don't have that second guy this year. And so Young is the freshman from Modern Day Ray in California.
Yeah, right.
He's not a big guy. He's the smallest starting quarterback Nick's ever had. He's right at 6 foot, maybe. 180, maybe. Tua was like 6'1", 220.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But 180 doesn't survive a whole season in SEC. That's not a big guy.
Yep. And did you hear he got $1 million already?
And it's crazy. And he's not even a Heisman candidate or anything yet.
He didn't even start a game at Alabama yet.
What's that tell you? If you're the starting quarterback at Alabama,
oh yeah,
you get $1 million a year in endorsements.
And how is that much? I mean, are recruiting at a high level?
Tua would have made $5 million.
Oh yeah, easy.
Unbelievable. Any last thoughts, Jace, about anything else? MLB baseball. I'm pulling for the Giants to win it all because Gausman's their ace pitcher from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a chance to win the Cy Young this year. We have a lot of Houston Astro fans in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman, I'm looking forward to him getting back from the injured reserve with Houston. They're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
My Yankees are really not doing well, even though DJ LeMay, who's not having his best year, he's batting around 270. He's usually like 310.
Yeah.
Can't stay that way all the time. And Aaron Nola's doing great in Philly, but there's no run support. They have Bryce Harper. They just don't have, I don't know. I want to see Aaron Nola in Houston with the Astros before he gets to his 30s.
Mm-hmm, right. Just have a chance to win the championship before it's all said
and the Dodgers look like they're a well-oiled machine. Tampa Bay's good. Chicago White Sox is very good. Tony La Russa's their manager, who's almost 80.
Wow.
Think about this stat, Jace. Before you were born, he was managing the Oakland A's, Jose Canseco in his prime, and Mark McGwire.
Wow.
When Mark McGwire hit 70 home runs,
right, yeah.
Tony La Russa was the manager.
Oh, okay.
Some 40 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
And you got some good teams, some other good teams. Oakland's, speaking of Oakland, they're good. They're the nemesis to the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego's doing a good job. They got some great talent. And Aaron's brother.
Yeah, Austin.
Austin is with San Diego, but he's been hurt. He's been hurt. He's coming back soon. I'm hoping that Mikey Matuk, who's in the minors with the White Sox, gets called up.
Yep.
He could be a part of a special team. And he's doing good in the minors. He still has like 15 or 16 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Smith, your former
classmate
at Catholic High, is tearing it up, I hear, in the Yankees minor league system.
Yeah, he is.
I read an article the other day. They said he's the third best prospect in their whole system.
Oh, yeah. It won't be long until he gets in the majors.
I predict he'll be in the majors next year.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do as a second baseman.
Yeah. Well, I saw it firsthand when he was like in eighth grade coming out, you know, how great he was as an athlete.
But think of this. Aaron Nola, him, and our kid that went to Auburn, our friend.
Oh, Bramer?
Bramer.
Yeah.
Ben, they're all ben teammates. Bramer. They all have a chance to be in the league at one time next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben's hurt right now, I think. He's in the minors. But he was called up last year with the Nationals.
Okay.
Stevenson's with them, too, from LSU.
Yeah, right. Andrew, yep.
But that's a hell heck of a Catholic High team.
Yep.
I mean, Aaron Nola, his brother, Josh Smith, Bramer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a heck of a – and all in the major, they're all, I think, are all going to be in the majors next year.
Yeah.
Might be missing one or two that didn't go to LSU. I think there's a couple other ones from that team.
They've had some guys over the years.
And I really like the job Jay Johnson's doing at LSU baseball.
He's already bringing a lot of excitement.
Oh, man, he's got more pitchers coming in that can play than they had this past year. They still need one more, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get one more really good pitcher that throws over 93. And if they can get one more, I think they're set. And they're going to have to actually run some kids off come fall because they're over by nine players.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's 49 in players. You can carry 40. And nine kids are going to have to go somewhere. That's tough, Jace.
Yeah, that's really tough when you have that situation. But and this is another thing I thought about if going back to the football side of things. The SEC quarterbacks this year, so you have JT Daniels, Matt Corral, the quarterback from Alabama, of course.
Missouri's got a good quarterback.
Yep. But those guys I just mentioned, they're all from California.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it's because USC's been down so long that kids are finally like, heck, my dad went to USC, but we don't want to go there. Because the coach, he's not been fired, but it's like they know he's going to get fired, so they don't want to go there. And they've had so many changes. Lane Kiffin, they've had Sarkisian.
Yeah,
there's so many coaches that just could not make USC go.
I'm surprised Helton's as long as he's been over there.
And, you know, ever since their genius left to the Seattle Seahawks, they can't. It's been downhill. Now, you got to look at LSU and say, you know, LSU's done pretty good since Saban's gone.
Think about it now. Do you remember when Les was fired and then it came down to do we hire Tom Herman or do we go in-house and
Jimbo?
Hire Jimbo and, you know, but now Coach O's actually outlasts him at LSU than Texas. Herman's out of Texas.
But think of this. USC won the national championships. Their coach goes to the NFL like Saban, right? Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He's like this god legend to the USC fan base, right? And he's done a great job with the Seattle Seahawks, thanks to Russell Wilson.
Right.
But USC didn't come back with a national championship with two other coaches like LSU.
Yeah.
Miles won one.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Orgeron won one.
Right.
And people here complain because they're spoiled a little bit.
Right.
And they say, oh, we should have more national championships. We should have like five more. Well, look at USC, one of the great programs in the history of college football. They haven't won a national championship since Pete Carroll left, which was 13 years ago?
And it was during that time. It wasn't like they're, you know, heading down and he took the job.
And look at Michigan. Look at Michigan. They fired three coaches since our guy.
Is it Rich Rod?
No, way before Rich Rod. Okay. Coach Shaw's.
Schembechler. Schembechler? Okay.
And Schembechler didn't win a national championship.
No, he never won a national championship.
But he was a great coach.
He pissed off Woody Hayes a lot.
Yeah. But look, Harbaugh's on the hot seat.
Yep.
But my whole point is LSU has actually been able to win national championships, even though the fan base didn't want to keep one coach in Les Miles. Mm-hmm. And some of the fan base is not really keen on the current coach. Some.
Yeah, right, right.
It's great to love LSU, but I guess if you don't have fans that care that much, it wouldn't really – they'd be irrelevant too.
Yeah, I don't know how many more fan bases out there care as much as football as LSU fans do.
And A&M's the same way. They just don't have the hardware. Texas
– they have everything else but championships.
And Florida's kind of they're angry, their fan base. Because ever since Urban Meyer left,
yep,
they are spoiled.
Yeah.
The Tebow days and all that. I mean, they are spoiled. And if Mullen's a good coach.
Yeah, he is.
But if he doesn't win one this year or play in the playoffs, they're going to be just – ticked off. They were mad last year with
him. I think last year was more the bigger year for them because I know
Kyle Trask.
Yeah, Kyle Trask. You had Pitts. You had Tony. You had all these guys. And, you know, the defense disappointed last year. At the longest time, the defense was good after Urban Meyer, but they didn't have any offense. Now it's the opposite. The offense is great with Mullen, but the defense is falling off. So it's been one.
And then Ole Miss is looking for more out of Kiffin this year.
Right. I know Ole Miss fans were pretty happy with last year considering that, hey, we played with Alabama. What more we can say? But, I mean, this is a pretty important year for
them. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to put this out there. And we've all talked to Arch Manning, and we've talked – I know teammates at Newman. I know Ben Bortolo's son, Bo. And,
right.
You know, we know Nelson Stewart. Mm-hmm. If Ole Miss was to some reason have a miraculous year, it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Manning could be a rebel in the end because, you know, Archie, their grandfather, Archie, he's big time still involved with Ole Miss,
Eli
big time.
With the Ole Miss. So.
Well, they're still heavy in Ole Miss. But if Ole Miss can – if Kiffin can show he'll be there, you know, you might see Arch end up going to Ole Miss.
I can see that. I can see him going to Ole Miss. And the offense they play, I mean that's an offense he would definitely
I think that's the school to beat the whole time. Everybody, you know, Clemson's like the team that's.
Yeah, they're talking about Clemson and Texas, but
Alabama and everybody. But I really believe at the end of the day, if Lane Kiffin shows that he can get through this year, you might see Arch go to Ole Miss because I think Archie and all them are just looking for stability at the school they love. Mm-hmm. Make no bones about it.
I tell you, Lane might just hire David Cutcliffe just to have him over there
from Duke,
and because he coached both Mannings, and is like, hey, I already coached.
Yeah, they're friends with him.
Yeah, right.
I really think if all Ole Miss needs to do is just show that Lane Kiffin's going to be there for a while, and I think Arch would go there. I really do because they're still Ole Miss passionate fans. Archie's still at most of the games.
Mm-hmm, right.
He's still in the suite. He's still. I mean, that's no different than Billy Cannon, the late Billy Cannon, going to LSU games or.
Sure.
You know, all the LSU guys. So, and if they were to get Arch Manning, the way the society's going now with kids falling quarterbacks, man.
Imagine a couple of years you were going to see a guy like, you know, it could be, Arch Manning against Walker Howard in a couple of years be LSU Ole Miss, you know.
Yeah, those two are not going to the same school.
Yeah.
And they're friends.
Right.
And I think if Arch goes to a different school besides LSU and Jimbo doesn't stay at A&M for some reason, Holstein could come back in the picture. I know not right now. We interviewed Holstein.
Yeah.
He's set to go A&M. But what I'm saying is a lot of things can happen to change things.
Potentially a couple years down the road, three SEC starting quarterbacks are going to be Louisiana kids. You got Manning, Walker, and then – yep.
And we got 7-8 more in North Louisiana coming up that are going to be starters in D1 ball. There's going to be like 13-14 quarterbacks from Louisiana 22-23 class. There's like 7 of them in Shreveport-Monroe for 223 that are big-time players, quarterbacks.
Yeah,
And then you got Chris going to ULL from Madison Prep. He's all world.
Yeah.
He's a bigger version of Levi Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And the key there is, will ULL keep their coach in 2 years?
Yeah.
Will he stay?
He's already getting a bunch of – he already turned down some major programs. But he knows that he wants to build something special at UL for a year or two.
If they can get in the Big 12, then I think he'd stay.
Yeah, because
– if they could get in.
I mean, they can make him a throne in
big time
in Lafayette right now with the job he's been doing over there.
We're just saying possibilities, listeners. If Oklahoma, Texas do leave, which we think they will – will the Big 12 take a ULL? Will it be Tech? Will it be Tulane? Will it be Troy? Will it be, you know, whoever? There's some good teams they might take.
State's up there, too, and they've done a good job. And, yep, so who knows?
Coastal UIU. Carolina.
Right.
I would think Coastal would join ACC if they had an opening.
Yeah.
I would think the ACC would. That's their fit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on that side of the region-wise. It makes sense for him.
Any final thoughts, Jace, before we go?
No, just we've been working on the magazine pretty much nonstop, and we're in the final stages of getting it printed right now. But, yeah, we're looking forward at 25 years for you, Lee. So that's a pretty incredible feat there.
Still breathing, man. Still breathing. My mom, Dolores Thompson's been a big help all 25 years. Carl Licardo, our designer, yep. 25 years. You're going into year five-ish.
Yep.
And we've got a couple of great interns, if you want to mention the interns.
Yeah, Connor Shaw and Jay Parker, both of them. I mean, they've helped me a lot through this whole process. And
Connor's from Dallas.
Yeah.
And Jay is from Natchitoches.
Yeah, his little brother's going to be a starting quarterback this year.
St. Mary's.
Yeah. So, yeah. Appreciate more from notes, too, as far as what they were able to help us this year. They helped us a lot.
And since we do this show, we got to get back to work on the magazine.
Yeah, right, as soon as we're done recording here.
I want to mention, please go to the website, support the magazine, buy copies for your family, buy copies for your employees, buy copies for friends.
Right.
We can only exist if you support us, because we're, you know, owned, family-owned out of Baton Rouge. And go to LAFootballMagazine.com. That's LAFootballMagazine.com to support and get a pre-order a copy. They will be out late August. We're going to the printer middle of this week. They'll have it for a couple of weeks, and it takes a week once we get them. Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you soon. Hopefully, I think we're going to have Randall Blue Gay, Jace, on.
How about that?
For Wednesday.
Yeah, my dad coached him in middle school. Him and Norman Lejeune, both
got
middle school.
Super Bowl ring with the Saints, and we converted from running back to corner for Nick Saban.
Yep.
We're going to let him tell the story, and he's an attorney in town doing a good job, Randall Gay.
Yes.
Really one of my favorite players of all time is Randall Blue Gay from Brulee High School.
Yeah.
Him and Norman were a great duo at Brulee and LSU.
Yep.
We'll see you soon. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.